Now, she first burst onto our screens as a sweet singing girl under the rainbow in The Wizard of Oz back in 1939. I am, of course, talking about Julie Garland. And from that moment, her life was never quite her own. It was both remarkable and tragic. Story relatively well known, but it's the perfect narrative for a Hollywood biopic with Renee Zellweger playing the leading role. You will have seen probably some Renee Zellweger interviews on TV screens in recent weeks. She's been doing the publicity trail for it, and Jason DeRosso has been taking a look at the film. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yeah, she was on my show last week as well.
Oh.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah. She's been everywhere. But
She did the most important program that there is to do
indeed.
In Australia. Does the movie live up to the hype?
It's getting a lot of hype. I don't think it quite does, unfortunately. But I think fans will be reasonably pleased. I mean, I think this is a film about fan service more than it is about any kind of very nuanced depiction of her.
About fan service?
Fan service in a way.
What's
I mean,
that?
I think, you know, this is a film that mainly takes place in 68, 69, just before she died, really, towards the end of her career, when she was battling all kinds of demons, battling her failing health that had been severely compromised by, you know, addiction to barbiturates and speed and all those sorts of things that she'd initially been fed by her studio minders as a child star, of course. And here she is in the last period of her life with a residency at this nightclub called The Talk of the Town in London. Broke, so trying to earn some money with a new boyfriend, very much in love. He was to become her last, Mickey Deans, he was to become her last husband. She was married 5 times, I think. He's played by Finn Wittrock in this. And she's desperately trying to sort of earn some money and win back custody of her 2 youngest kids, who she's left with Sidney Loft, who was, I think, her third husband back in the US. And essentially that's the story of the film, with flashbacks to her time as a teen star on the set or making The Wizard of Oz.
So it's not just that little window that's presented in the film.
It's like the bookends of her career, if you like. It's the very end and one of the, you know, seminal moments at the very beginning. For many of the scenes are quite rousing in The Talk of the Town, because it is her going on stage and Renee Zellweger delivering these very heartfelt sort of performances, but battling all those demons off stage. So it's a film of kind of predictably lush melodrama that's full of kind of these, you know, quite compelling performances on stage that kind of come across like really, really nice TV variety show performances in a way, which isn't inappropriate. And then off stage, there are the sort of diva meltdowns, there are the arguments and there are the sort of trysts and so forth. So, and all of it's not particularly dramatized very inventively. I mean, it's based on a stage play. It was adapted by Tom Edge, who's a screenwriter who's mainly worked in TV, The Crown and Lovesick and things like this. Directed by directed by a guy who's mainly Gould, Rupert Gould, who's mainly worked in theatre. This is only his second film. So there is a kind of lack of, I think, a cinematic dimension to this. It's quite illustrative. There are moments where you get glimpses of, I think, a film that might have been a bit more complex and more interesting. I kind of had trouble with the fact that there is so much living and so much of her career. She made 34 films that is kind of left out of this story, or not really even alluded to in any very meaningful way. But look, as I say, I think to some degree fans, even those who recognize its failings, will really enjoy this performance, will really enjoy just this the opportunity to see this very close approximation of Judy Garland on stage. I'm going to play you some of Zellweger singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and you'll get a sense of, I think, just what an effort she went to sort of approximate this great talent. I think she does an awfully good job, but I'll, you know, the proof's in the pudding. I'll let you hear the audio now of her singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere the rainbow, way up high, there's a land that I've heard of once in a lullaby.
Well, she can certainly sing.
She can.
What's
yeah,
she like it
absolutely. Look, I think Renee Zellweger is one of those actors who doesn't really, is it's pretty hard for her to dissolve into a role because her own presence is so distinctive. There are moments, however, where I think there's a certain camera angle, the haircut, the prosthetics. She's got a nose and she's got teeth and, you know, the eyes and all the rest of it have sort of been altered, where she does look strikingly like Garland. For the rest of it, it's sort of Zellweger playing Garland. And, you know, Zellweger's a great actor. I think that's kind of fine. But as I say, it's a film that, I'll give you another example. There's a moment where Garland had, of course, a huge queer following and became quite a queer icon, even as she was alive, you know, and it was kind of mentioned and talked about by critics at the time. And there's a moment where she goes backstage and the only two people waiting for her are a couple of older gay men who love her.
Friends of Dorothy, as right. The saying goes.
Yeah. And you know, she sort of goes home with them for dinner because she's lonely. And that scene too, it could have been so wonderful. And perhaps some people will find it very sweet, but there's a lot of thematic spoon feeding there. So, you know, it is a film with a bit of thematic spoon feeding.
You'd be disappointing a lot of people, yeah. But I suspect we're really looking forward
to
seeing
this. Well, I suspect
this.
A lot of people will see it anyway and kind of appreciate it for what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also out this week, a Shakespearean adaptation from the Australian director of Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, that's right. David Michaud, who people may remember, the Melbourne gangland film Animal Kingdom came out, I think, 2010. It was one of the great Australian debuts. He hasn't been so successful making kind of satires and war satires for Netflix recently, but he's back making this film. I speak to the co-writer who helped him adapt Shakespeare's plays about Henry V, essentially, for the screen, Joel Edgerton, on the show this morning. I think it's a very good return to form, a little bit of a sort of straighter tone, something more straight down the middle, straight bat, a quite dark and brooding, very masculine war film. Timothy Chalamet plays Hal, Prince Hal, who then becomes Henry V. Falstaff, who is a Shakespearean invention and somewhat of a buffoon in the Shakespearean plays, here is played by Joel Edgerton, a bit more of a kind of robust, you know, warrior kind of figure who becomes one of Prince Hull's inner circle of advisors. But a really interesting film, I think, about masculinity. As I say, very bruising, very violent, well shot by Adam Akapor, the great Australian cinematographer who's been with Michaud for all these years. Produced by Brad Pitt's company, Plan B. But I think it has a nice sort of rueful epilogue. And the tables are turned on all of this sort of masculinity as well, but in very interesting ways. I think thematically there's a lot to take away from it. And there's some great battle scenes as well in sort of muddy fields and great sword-on-sword action. So if you need something to scratch that Game of Thrones itch, watch this. It's a Netflix film, but it's in cinemas now, releasing on Netflix next month.
The interview with Renee Zellweger up on the Screen Show webpage right now.
And the Shakespeare one's called The King. Did I mention that? The King, it's
maybe.
Called.
And you're talking to Joel Edgerton this morning on the Screen Show at 10. Jason DeRosso, thank you.
Thank you.